Let's turn together to Luke chapter 4. We'll read together the verses 1 through 13. Luke would love it if we could hear echoes of the Old Testament in our reading today. The number 40 shows up a lot in the Old Testament, and not just the number 40 by itself, but 40 in relationship to wilderness and trials, testing, and temptation. And so I think Luke would love it if we would call to mind Moses being up on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights without eating or drinking and remembering that story. I think he would love it if we would remember the Israelites 40 years in the wilderness where they were tested and where eating and drinking was an issue for them. I think he would love it for us to remember Elijah, who made a mad dash for God's mountain and went on a 40-day fast as well. So we know that the wilderness is a place of testing. And Luke tells this story, Luke brings those ancient stories for the church and for Jesus in the story that he tells us today. He brings those things forward for us to think about, I think, our own wilderness experiences, our own times and places when resources are thin, when we are tested, when we find ourselves in seasons of trial, when we find ourselves in seasons of temptation. I think he tells this story for the church to not only be encouraged by what happens with Jesus, but also to be encouraged with who we are. This story comes right on the heels of Jesus' baptism. And the early church saw the Christian life beginning with what's proclaimed in baptism. So this morning when we read the story, bring those things to mind as we think about that. And I would love to teach you a Hebrew word. I think I took more Hebrew than any graduate of Calvin Seminary ever did, not because I was good at it, because I failed it twice before. And only Jack knows that, so Jack, don't say anything to anybody. But the Hebrew word for word is dabar. It's dabar. And the Hebrew word for wilderness is midbar. Or mid-dabar. And anytime you put an M in front of anything in Hebrew, it negates that word. So mid-bar means wordless place. Jesus is in a wordless place where he loses home court advantage, where he becomes the underdog, where he goes into a season of testing, just like God's first son Israel did. So on the back of your bulletin today, I share with you a poem that I wrote during one of my wordless seasons called Midbar. And you can take that with you. You don't need to read that now. Before we read, let's pray together. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your word, especially when it comes in wordless places. Thank you for your Spirit, which leads us through the wilderness, even as you led Israel. Thank you for your companionship in testing and temptation. We pray that we would follow your lead. So today, thank you for this opportunity to encounter you, your word, your Spirit, ourselves, and one another. We pray that your word would be planted in us, would grow in us, and that we would be different because you've called us here today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you wonder about whether or not this is another kind of test, if you look right before this passage begins, chapter 3 ends with a genealogy that calls to mind Adam. And then we hear these words. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for isn't it written in the Scriptures, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. So for me, it was about 50 days ago or so. It was that time of the year when I need to make my annual pilgrimage to my physician. And he's thumbing through my lab work and he said, "This all looks good, except for these numbers are a little high. We've got to deal with this." And being sensitive to how language works and appreciative of how language works, I said, "So how are we going to do that?" And he said, "Well, you need to exercise more, and you need to lose weight, and you need to stop eating like you're 25. And I said, "I'm hearing a lot about me in that. Where's the we part?" And he said, "The we part is I get to tell you this, and I get to put you on meds if you don't fix this." This is a guy who, you know, is such a good doc and such a good human being. He says things like morbidly obese in loving ways. So he said, "See me in 90 days, see what you can do. You can eat your way out of this. You can do it." And so I've entered into this 90-day test. You've been there too, some of you have. You join a gym, you start counting your carbs, you start counting fat grams, you become impossible to live with. There's no one more obnoxious than someone who's watching what they're eating. You're not just hungry, but you're hangry. And you see what you can do. You sweat more and you eat less. All because you've entered this season of testing, which is a good thing. It's for your betterment, to see what you can do, see what you're capable of. But in this season of testing, there are temptations. For me, there's M&Ms, and there's Pepsi. And there's Amstel Light. And there's a glass of wine after a council meeting. Half a glass. We got a good council. There's sprinkles. Oh. Those are the temptations in the season of testing. Testing is different than temptation. You and I cannot control the conditions of a season of testing, but we can control how we respond to the temptations. And this is where we get to the nitty-gritty of our text this morning, because Jesus is fresh from his baptism. And he's being led by the Spirit. He's being led to say yes to the season of testing. He is being led to deepen himself, to become more grounded in who he is. I think to discover what it means to be God's son. He's heard the ultimate affirmation. You are my son. With you, I am well pleased. And now, the same Spirit is leading and guiding him into this season of testing. And I think he willingly goes into it because of his devotion, because of his desire to get to know God more intimately, because of his desire to grow stronger, for him to grow into what it means to be a baptized son of God. And you and I might say for a minute, wait a minute, why is he doing that? Why is the Spirit doing that to him? And I think it's a fair question. Why does the Spirit lead us into wordless places? Why does the Spirit lead us into seasons in which it seems like the daily bread is pretty meager? Why is it that we go through experiences in our life, in our health, in our relationships, in our personal life, that seems to test and try and stretch every fiber and fabric of who we are? And I think Luke's response and Jesus' response is that this is a season in which we are invited to grow. And it's that way for Jesus too. He's hungry. He is aware in new ways of how he is acutely human. He's in touch with his needs in ways that maybe he never was before. If you ever go on a diet, you are more aware than ever of your desire for food, your desire for drink. You are more aware than ever of the ways in which you use food. You are more aware than ever of some of the thoughts and feelings that are going on inside you. You become more and more aware when resources are thin of all of the ways in which there are shadows inside of us and outside of us. And I don't know if you and I can be faithful followers without knowing something of what that is like. Jesus is not going to be useful in his ministry unless he starts to get to know the shadows in new ways. And what we don't know about ourselves, or what we don't know what's going on inside of us, will hold us back, will hold us hostage. So it's worthwhile getting to know those things, even in the season of testing and trying, which is something none of us would ever choose. Because some of us need heightened awareness and perception and preparation for whatever is going on next for us, in whatever season of growth God wants to bring us to. So if you're familiar at all with recovery language, you may know that the first thing you're taught in recovery is not only acknowledging you have a need, but also acknowledging that you cannot do this alone, but you need other people, and they're there to help you see you succeed. But third, you need to learn in new ways our feelings and emotions are dashboard lights for us before we step into areas we shouldn't. So in recovery language, it's halt. It's Whenever you're hurting or you're angry or you're lonely or you're tired, those are your dashboard lights. Hurting, angry, lonely, tired. When you're feeling that, those are the dashboard indicators that it's so quick and easy to try and numb those feelings or those experiences. And oftentimes we turn to things that are not helpful for us to try and numb those feelings and those experiences. But for some of us, we had no idea those things were in play. And when we don't know that, they hold us hostage. So if you're in recovery, those are the first things you look for. And they're not the enemies. They're your friends. Because they tell you something is moving you in a direction that could lead you into temptation. Second point today. The temptations that come to Jesus challenge who he is and challenge who he will be. And those temptations are all about, Jesus, are you really who God says you are? And what is that going to look like? So Luke says the adversary comes to him in this period of hunger, in this period of testing, and he tempts him with a stone. Matthew says stones. Luke says stone. And he's really asking him, are you going to use your power to meet your own needs, or is your power going to be about meeting other people's needs? What do you say, Jesus? Because you're kind of weak right now. Let's take your Son of God status out for a test drive. Let's see if this is who you really are. And if you really are this kind of person, you are going to use your power and your resources for yourself. Jesus says, that's not what I'm about. Well, how about this? I'm a deal maker. I got a great deal for you. I will give you the best cabinet seat in the whole wide world. All you have to do is give me some adoration, some compliments, some praise, and you've got that seat. And you can take a shortcut. You can take an easier path to come into all of your glory and into all of your power. And you don't have to go through the pain and the suffering. And you don't have to go through the difficulty. I know how hard this wilderness time is for you. Take an easy way out. Jesus is not about the easier way. And then he takes them to this high place in front of all of the crowds. And ask Jesus to take his power out for a test drive for show. Imagine how many people will be talking about you. How many people will see this. How many people might come to faith. I think for Jesus, part of his responses are not just a no to all of those temptations, but I think Jesus' responses coming out of Deuteronomy are very much about learning in the wilderness all of the things in which he wants to say yes to God. It's not just a no, but he is finding and has found clarity in all of the ways in which he wants to say yes. And everybody who reads this, who's hungry, who says, yes, Jesus, just say yes to that kind of miracle of feeding. Those who are attracted to powerful places and positions would say, yes, Jesus, take that path. Yes, Jesus, prove yourself. Let everybody see so that you're on display. Take that path. Jesus says no to all of those because he has said yes to a different kind of path. So the wilderness, which is a lean season for him, is helping him to see in new ways what is so important to him. In those seasons when everything is amplified and intensified, whether it's hunger, whether it's loneliness, whether it's discouragement. I'll bet he had all of those things going on simultaneously. But he also had with him the lessons of those who have gone before him in the wilderness experiences to say, I know what has not worked, and I know the spirit that I'm trying to follow. So this morning, I would like to suggest that whenever we take seriously, or wherever we take seriously, our baptism, who we are, wherever it is in our life, when we begin to take that seriously or more seriously, we will find ourselves in a season of testing, and with that will come temptations. With that will come temptation. And the season of testing is about God wanting to improve us or awaken our awareness or grow us or helping us to see new and differently. It's about sharpening us with a readiness to serve him in new ways. So don't be surprised if we get some pushback. So are you in a season of testing today? Where the resources are thin, where the encouragement might be light, where the stresses are high. If so, give thanks to God because the Spirit might be leading you in that season for your healing. And know that whatever God's doing in that season, that there are probably going to be temptations as well. But what God is likely testing is your endurance, your perseverance. How much can you trust right here and right now? Maybe God is yearning for deeper engagement with you, or you with someone else, a neighbor, a spouse, a kid, a parent, an adversary. And know that in those seasons of testing, it's a lot easier to give up. It's a lot easier to quit. Maybe it's quitting a relationship. Maybe it is quitting trying to work on something in your own life in which we all need reminders that we cannot do it alone. Maybe it's ceasing blaming someone else. Or maybe it's a refusal to change because the Spirit keeps showing all of these different things to me and I don't like what the Spirit is stirring up. But maybe God is doing this so that we actually deal with it for the first time. And in those moments, it's so much easier to find an easier path, a quicker path. One that doesn't involve trial and testing and suffering. And in those moments, Pastor Luke tells us this story to show us Jesus' experience, who is right there with us. Jesus, who will say to Peter, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. That's Luke 22. I have prayed for you so that when you return, you will be able to encourage the brothers. Notice that Jesus knows that Peter is not going to pass the test. But Jesus' prayer is all about that he will work through that failure and be able to come to a place of encouragement for others. So my last point is this. In seasons of testing, just know you and I are not going to pass every test. We're not. We join Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, when we say, save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. Because we know that there are plenty of ways for us to stumble into temptation, to find evil on our own, or like this text and the early Genesis one, for evil to find its way to us. Luke brings these experiences, that this text to us, so that we begin to ask ourselves, not, well, is this God? Is this the devil? Is this me? We can't sort that out. But we know that God brings us into seasons of testing, and we know that there will be temptation there. And the question for us really needs to be, what is God intending to teach me through this? What is it that God wants me to learn? Because in the wilderness, in a dry and arid place where there are very few resources, a little water can go a long way. And the water is a reminder that I am with you. I am with you in the wilderness. I am with you in the wordless place. And this is who you are. And this is who you are called to be. And sometimes that water is just enough reminder in seasons of testing and in moments of temptation. You're not alone, but the precious sons and daughters of the Most High God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear God, tune our hearts and our lives and our ears to asking, what is it that you would show us? What is it that we can learn? You have sent your chosen ones into wilderness times with the power of your Spirit. And yet sometimes in those dry, wordless places, we find ourselves feeling alone, finding ourselves weak and hungry and tired. So remind us that you are our resource. Remind us that we are not alone. And when temptation comes, as it surely will, give us courage to say yes to you so that we can say no to the things that matter so much less. So give us courage, O God, to see wilderness times as an opportunity for us to grow deeper in you and you in us. Thank you for your Son, who was tempted in every way and was successful. When we fail, give us courage to lean on Him and His success and to trust His good work on our behalf. We pray these things in the name and in the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us, who reminds us of who we are. Amen.